Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We had already shot tonight's show when we heard that the reports had been confirmed that Prince had passed away. And it didn't feel right to me to start an entertainment show without coming back down here and turning the lights on and saying something about it before we begin. I don't even know where to start when I talk about Prince as an artist, because to be unique in this world is impossible. Like, almost all art is taken or borrowed from somewhere else, and yet an artist like Prince stands alone. He is completely original. I was lucky enough to see him live many times. I saw him in stadiums and arenas, and I saw him in quite a few smaller venues too, because whenever he'd play a big show in London, he'd often announce from the stage that he was going to play another show later on that night somewhere across town. And it was so exciting. You'd rush across and you'd try and get in. And at times like this, it's easy to feel incredibly sad. But I feel like today is about celebrating the incredible life that he led and the brilliant songs that he gave us. I'm going to miss not being able to hear his new music, and I will miss not being able to see him live again. But I will always cherish the fact that I got to be in his audience, just to be in his orbit for just those few nights. What a thing to have been alive when Prince was making music. We are all incredibly lucky. We will miss you, Prince. You are truly one of a kind. Sometimes I wish life was never ending, and all good things, they say, never last. Let's start our show.
Thank you. Folks, not your normal introduction to the show today. It's basically a memorial to Prince, who passed away just the other day. And this is JDR, and you're listening to CD93. We're on your iTunes and various other places like SoundCloud and stuff. You know, there's been passings, whether it was James Brown, Michael Jackson, or, you know, David Bowie, who just passed recently, who I was a big fan of. I was a big fan of all three, and I was absolutely a big fan of Prince. We were the same age, and, you know, he felt like a brother. He was in my heart, and I know that he was in the hearts of millions. It wasn't just his brilliance as a musician. It was his whole aura that just captivated people. And he died young. Like I said, he's my age. They said it'll be a few weeks before they find out exactly what he had died from. So I'm just going to take most of this show. There is news I'm going to take most of this show and just reflect on the one and only. All right.
The morning of the game, I opened the curtains in my hotel room and I was like, oh my God, it was like a scene from Moby Dick. It was like the winds were blowing the palm trees and the rain was one of those Miami rainstorms that just would not relent. We're in this truck sitting behind Don Mischer. And I remember Don said, put me on the phone with Prince. Don says, now I want you to know it's raining. And Prince is like, yes, it's raining. And are you okay? And Prince is like, can you make it rain harder? And I was like, right on.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to get through this thing called life. Oh no, let's go. Don't lie. The world is here. We're taking a look around.
We were told in 40 years it's never rained in a Super Bowl, don't worry about it. So that went well. We're up in a booth at the top of the stadium, and the rain is pouring into the booth. It was so windy and rainy, we couldn't even see.
I was just panicked. Prince was using four separate live electric guitars. The stage was made out of a very slick tile, which when it got wet was even more slippery. He had two beautiful dancers with him, the twins, okay? They were wearing, I think, 8-inch heels. And I was just saying, oh my God, what's going to happen now?
All along the watchtower, Prince has kept a view. While the women came and wept, barefoot servants too.
That Prince set is so wild. He does other people's songs. He's not promoting himself. He's just making music. It's profound and it's loud and it's funky and it's just one performer shaking the entire world.
It felt surprising. It felt spontaneous. Whatever script you might have had in your head for, okay, here's what he's going to do, he didn't do that. Musically, it felt very loose. He played big, epic Prince-style guitar solos. You know, turning the bad weather to his dramatic advantage, it was almost like a special effect. He could totally lean into that and make it seem like, sure, it's raining. Of course, I would have wanted it to rain. Like, I ordered that.
Ain't no fool.
By the time we got to the end of the set, when he did do Purple Rain, that was one of those times where things just worked magically, and there's nothing you can do but just say thank you.
I never meant to cause you any sorrow. I never meant to cause you any pain. I didn't want to one time see you laughing, babe. Only want to see you laughing, yeah, in the purple rain, purple rain. Don't it feel good? Only wanna see you, see you. Can I play this guitar?
To me, it's about one guy in the middle of 100,000 people and 100 million people on television, and it's your moment to be Prince at the Super Bowl. And Mother Nature is dropping thousands and thousands of gallons of rain. I always thought how cool the guy is to rise up and just get stormed upon and just bring what he brought. That was so special.
And they are calling that one of, if not the best Super Bowl shows ever. And, you know, I would be inclined to agree. At the beginning, you notice I didn't play my usual intro. I played, as my guitar gently weeps, that was Tom Petty. It was Jeff Lynne from ELO. And also there was Prince on the stage. Singing and playing his guitar. The man was amazing in many ways, and it is a tragic and great loss. You'll have to bear with me because I am having some problems keeping it together. Those of you that know me, you're probably saying, you know, well, my God, I thought you were a big David Bowie fan. Yes, I am. I always will be. I grew up with Bowie. And then my brother Prince came along. And, you know, we kind of had a love-hate relationship. At times I would love Prince. And at times I just, you know, I didn't like him at all. I don't know. You know, sometimes he just seemed a bit too flashy for me or whatever. But his songs were fantastic. And his songs helped me to discover myself and to find out who I was and to, you know, learn to respect myself and to just enjoy life. He had a bigger influence than on me. He had a bigger influence on me than, you know, Michael Jackson or James Brown or even David Bowie, which, yeah, it's kind of a toss-up because, you know, David Bowie was, for me, very influential, but so was Prince. He was very influential, and not that Michael Jackson or James Brown wasn't, but it was just that little edge. So, yeah. If you look at John Robinson on Facebook, or John D. Robinson on Facebook, you're gonna see an old photo of me with my group, Squash, with Bruce Ingram and Jungle Steve and Arinda, who was doing quite well for himself over in Europe and Germany. You're going to see us in the way we're dressed. It's all Prince. It's all Prince, you know. And I had the fortune, or the unlucky fortune, of ending up backstage. A total mistake. I because in those days, I used to dress like I was part of Prince's group. We all did, you know. And I was at a concert in Frankfurt, in a big place, sort of like the size of Madison Square Garden, you might say, an arena. And I was so sick that I had to find a bathroom. And as I was asking people, they kept pointing me in one direction. Excuse me. And it was sort of like a Joan Kennedy incident. Like, if you remember Joan Kennedy and the group Mother's Finest, they sang that famous song, Niggas Can't Sing Rock and Roll. Well, she came out to do a show, and she had to go to the bathroom. And she was asking people, and they kept pointing her in one direction. Yeah, they were pointing her back to the stage. The poor girl ended up singing. She ended up singing like 2 hours, having to go to the bathroom. And that was kind of the thing with me, because they were all pointing me in one direction, and I was so sick that I hardly had my eyes open. And I walk into this one room, and there's a chair right at the left side. As soon as I came in the door, there was this chair, and there was a table next to it with all kinds of goodies on it. I just sat in the chair because I was so done. I was sweating bullets. And then I'm looking up, and as I'm looking up, I'm seeing people eating and drinking, and I'm looking around how everybody's dressed and the atmosphere, and I'm like, holy crap, John, you're backstage. Unfortunately, I couldn't enjoy it because I was so sick. I had to find a bathroom. I don't even think I stayed for the concert. I can't remember if I did or not. I know it was a Little Red Corvette concert that he did in Frankfurt. But anyway, yeah, I had to wipe my nose there. It's, you know, at least I can say, you know, I spent a minute and a half backstage at a Prince concert. Whatever. You're listening to CD93. This is JDR. And this is my tribute to the one and only Prince.
what you feel for me. My desire for you is about to grow. There's no better way to show what you feel for me.
Controversial conspiracy, saying that he first learned about the odd phenomenon from civil rights leader Dick Gregory during his State of the Black Union speech earlier that year. Here's a clip from that interview.
What he said affects all of us. He said something that really hit home about this phenomena of chemtrails. And you know, when I was a kid, I used to see these trails in the sky all the time. And so, oh, that's cool. A jet just went over. And then you started to see a whole bunch of them. And next thing you know, everybody in your neighborhood was fighting and arguing, and you didn't know why. Okay? And you really didn't know why. I mean, everybody was fighting. So he started riffing about the chemtrails. And he started to say things that hit home so hard. And I would recommend that everybody try to get what he said online or wherever.
You got to give him a lot of credit for daring to bring up such a controversial issue. Something that is often the topic of ridicule, coming with the claims of conspiracy theories. And I'm not saying that there's a secret program to add certain additives to jet fuel in commercial jets. But the United States government has a long history of testing biological and chemical agents on an unknowing public. In fact, in 1977, the United States Army unclassified hundreds of pages of documents titled the U.S. Army Activity in the U.S. Biological Warfare Program, which detail 239 different populated areas which were contaminated with biological agents between 1949 and 1969 by the United States Army Secret Testing Program. In fact, Project SHAD, which stands for Project Shipboard Hazard and Defense, this program, primarily the United States military personnel was a part of, used secret testing in order to expose military personnel to chemical and biological agents without their knowledge. Now, the topic of weather modification, often ridiculed as a crazy conspiracy theory, but the fact is that as far back as the 1950s, governments were experimenting and successfully manipulating weather patterns around the world. In fact, in the 1950s, the British government developed a weather modification program they called Project Cumulus, which was a cloud seeding and testing program which tested the potential of causing massive amounts of rain to bog down enemy movement due to the downpour and saturated ground conditions. In fact, the United States was involved with what's called Project Popeye, which is a secret program that they implemented during the Vietnam War, which they used as cloud seeding in order to bog down the enemy forces. China has admitted to weather modification. Back in 2009, China's Air Force used a variety of chemicals to clear the smog out of the air for the parade celebrating the 60th anniversary of Communist China. Russia also has publicly admitted that they have used chemical agents in order to manipulate the weather. So, Prince urging people to investigate the chemtrail phenomenon, quite a brave move, and he must be applauded for risking the ridicule and the controversy that comes along with making such statements. Thanks for watching. Subscribe to my YouTube channel if you're new. Check out some of the previous videos and the playlists. There's a section in my 2010 book, The New World Order, Facts and Fiction, which covers this subject in more detail. I hope you'll pick it up in paperback from Amazon.com or download the ebook onto your tablet. And stay tuned. More videos coming soon.
Hey, folks, you're listening to CD93. My name is JDR. We're on your iTunes, your iOS, your Android, your Podomatic.com, David Robinson at Blogspot.com, TowerQuant at your-poetry.com. We're on SoundCloud. There is the Complaint Department YouTube channel. What Prince was saying there, I find really quite interesting. And it just goes to show you where his head was at, man. Because when you see a plane flying in the sky and you're seeing these trails, you're not really thinking much of anything. You know, you just, there's a plane in the sky and there's a trail. You know, it's a, you know, it's a jet or it's one of these sky riders or whatever. You know, they're writing words in the sky. You don't think about it. You don't think that your government would be so underhanded as to try out chemicals to see the reaction. How many people is it going to kill? How many people are going to get sick? It's amazing, you know, because you want to trust your government. I mean, we got the upcoming elections in November with Clinton and Trump. And I don't trust neither one of them. I'd probably trust Trump more than I did Hillary Clinton, more than I would Hillary Clinton. I mean, I just don't trust her as far as I can throw her, and I don't think I can throw her that far. But it's amazing. And, you know, it's not just the American government. Governments have been doing this for years. I mean, Ceausescu, who was what? He was the prime minister of Romania, I think. Romania? He would never let the temperature go below 15 degrees below zero. He would not allow it. He would not allow meteorologists, if the temperature was 30 degrees below zero, it's 15 degrees below zero. He would just, you do not tell the citizens that it's anything other than 15 degrees below zero. And our government is a sneaky goddamn government, folks. You gotta wake up. This government will do all kinds of crap. I mean, where the hell does AIDS come from? They're saying that it came from monkeys in Africa. Yeah, we really don't know where AIDS came from. And if they're doing these chemtrails where planes are flying across the sky and you're not thinking anything, but in that plane, they are dumping chemicals upon you to see the reaction. I mean, the fact that the gentleman was talking about that they can make it rain when they want to is that is scary stuff, folks. You mean to tell me the government can make it rain? Project Cumulus? They can make it rain, and they will make it rain down chemicals. Amazing. And yes, you have to applaud Prince for, you know, having the wherewithal to see what was happening here. Because none of us would see it. None of us would even check it. We wouldn't even expect our government to do something like that. It's amazing. All right, folks. I'm probably not going to give any shout-outs today. I'm probably just going to let the show go on. And I'll see you next week. All right.
Any person or object whatsoever that requires your attention is something that has veered from its path and preordained destiny of total enlightenment.
I never wanted a typical life, scripted role, trophy wife. All I ever wanted to be left alone, see my beds made up at night, cause in my dreams I roam. Trying to find my way back home. So many reasons why. There's so many reasons why I don't belong here. But now that I am mine, without fear I am gonna conquer with no fear until I find my way back home. Until I find my way back home. Most of the people in this world are born dead, but I was born alive.
I was born with this dream,
with a dream outside my head. To the ones, power to the ones who can raise a child like me. The path was set, but if you look, the truth will set us free. I've heard about those happy endings, but still a mystery. Let me tell you about me. I'm happiest when I can see.
For that,
tape it.
This is what he said.
Tape
listen,
you want to do it? Wait, you want to give me tape?
That's all he said.
Oh, man. Oh, but look, though, we were in Rio, the club Rio in Las Vegas.
Oh, okay.
We did the House of Blues, blew it up. Great show. Someone said, you want Prince tickets? We said, yeah, let's go see Prince. It's a long line to get in. When we finally got in, Prince was performing, and he was performing all around the interior of the club, like going all around the whole interior. And right as he came to the entrance, we met up. Fate met us up, and he was just playing, and he saw Charlie, and he went, he stopped. He picked him up and down.
I don't think he liked this sketch too much. I seen him hang with Dave after that.
Oh, for real? Right. Can he really play basketball?
Yeah, he really can play, man. Man, it's not shocking if the black man can play basketball.
No, for real. But the way he was playing,
and all these other little teams.
No, but just Nate the way Robinson, you said it, I know you made it.
The way you sold that.
No, yeah, I made you think he had the pumps on and all that stuff.
The way you sold that, though. Man, those two of the greatest stories ever told.
I can watch that right now.
That is funny. How you say
it? He was into it. He was like,
that's his only words.
That's all he
never said. Nothing else. No phone call.
It was an entire. There had to be about 3,000 people in there. He was going around the whole exterior.
To this day, he's that's all he
so
has
no
said.
Phone call, he ain't call you.
Nah, nah.
Tell him about the lollipop.
He was in the club and he had on a, you know what a Charms Pop is? Right? Charms Pop.
Oh, yeah.
The old school one.
Yeah.
It had like a rapper.
Yeah.
You could see through, kind of.
Yeah.
So the grape one was purple rapper, the red one was a red cherry rapper. He had on a Charms Pop suit. It's red shoes, all red top, everything. But it was that shiny shit. And he had a lollipop in his mouth. He was eating like this. And I came over. I said, yo, what's up, Prince? He's eating like this. I said, yo, man, this motherfucker's chair over right
now. It was cool, but when it came
it's still
to you,
cool.
Oh, for real?
It's still cool. I just think this Chappelle Show thing, he had so many, maybe bitches laughing in his face or something. Something happened, man. But he looked at me and like, you started all this shit. You're the one that has bitches asking me about pancakes.
I can't even offer bitches pancakes now because
it's not happening.
So your brother is so private. He just don't never come out.
Yeah. I think that's probably what it was. You know what I'm saying? But the nigga really made the pancakes. I'm not making that.
For real?
I swear to God, man. You know what I'm saying? You got a problem because I spoke on it? Hey, whatever, man. You shouldn't have made it.
See, that's why you funny. It's just the way he tells the story.
The shit was weird when
who had the pancakes? The baddest girls, Rick James or Prince?
Now they had the same girls.
Oh, they had the same girls?
It's a limited number of the baddest girls in Hollywood.
Uh-huh.
And back then, I would pretty much say whoever had the baddest girls, they all was sharing. They all thought it was just them. Like, yeah, okay, it ain't just you. The dude around the corner, he got a record out too. You know, another dude around the corner, he's on the lake. You know what I'm saying? And them girls are going from house to house, man.
Wow.
Yeah.
Like that?
Yeah, still baby, is. It still is like that.
That's Hollywood.
That's Hollywood, baby. It still is like that. I went to a party at Dr. Ray's house, and I seen this chick that was from when Eddie was 21, right? He's now 50. Okay, how old is Lil Wayne in there? They now like 25, 26.
Yeah.
The same chick that was on my brother was on Lil Wayne.
Get out of
here. Yo, you don't look to be his mother, man. Get out of here, you nasty. She had tight shit on. Like, she really was trying to get at this youngin', you know what I'm saying? But she never stopped being a hoe from back in the day.
Back in the day?
She went through generations of dick. Generations of dick. So many heavyweight champs collapsed on this bitch. Flat.
God.
I believe she was a pro.
She used to be
Let me
boxing.
See that contract. Are they paying you? I know. You know all that.
So do you through all the heavyweight champs, all the NFL stars, she went through everybody.
So is this how y'all like Christmas is, like family gatherings? Y'all tell jokes, do your brother, or he just quiet, or do
nah,
with family?
Everybody's just gonna be the natural person.
Oh, for real?
We will come back. Yeah, yeah. Definitely. So you get all this on tape.
He got everything. So he making sure that he tells the stuff we really want to know.
That's funny, man. That yeah, Bristol story, I wish I could have seen.
Hey, man, no harm was intended. I did it all in fun.
We asked him
to be involved. He didn't want to be involved. Rick wanted to be involved, so you know, his shit came out better. Yeah. Prince would have got involved. It should have been just as funny as Rick's shit.
Yeah, so you've been listening to CD93. My name is JDR. I'm on your iTunes, your iOS, your Android, Podomatic.com, SoundCloud, the Complaint Department YouTube channel. You have Tyler Kwan at your-poetry.com and David Robinson at blogspot.com. That was Charles Murphy, brother of Eddie Murphy, speaking not just about his times with... run-ins with Prince, but you know, a couple of the things which were kind of enlightening. Anyway, folks, I'd like to thank you for listening, and I would love to thank Prince Roger Nelson for enlightening my life. Thank you.